Looking for a new 1500 Silverado? Shop Beatty Chevrolet and get 2.9% APR for 72 months on a new 1500 Silverado. Or if you want a new vehicle and a Chevy Equinox LT fits your lifestyle, check out Beatty Chevrolet's lease option on a 24 Equinox for only $325 a month. And as always, buy with confidence with the Beatty Warranty for Life. Beatty Chevrolet on Parkside Drive. Online at BeattyChevrolet.com. Beatty Chevrolet, locally owned and operated for over 90 years.
Good Monday afternoon. Welcome in to Josh and Swain. Thank you for being with us today. We are very excited to be with you on this beautiful day here in East Tennessee. 2 days to go here in the month of January. And man, what a sports weekend. Tennessee basketball, what a showing on Saturday night at Thompson Bowling Arena. We will talk about it. We will update you on the polls as they get updated coming out of the weekend. We'll talk about an NFL championship weekend, one game that fizzled out pretty quickly when no healthy quarterbacks were available for one side. And then last night, an unhealthy quarterback willing his team to victory, Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs, on to the Super Bowl again to take on Jalen Hurts. What a story there, and the Philadelphia Eagles. We'll get to that. Basketball tonight. Updates in the sports world as they go along this afternoon. Very excited to be here for the next 3 hours for all of it. Swain, good afternoon. How are you?
What is up? I'm great. What a weekend for Tennessee athletics. Saturday was really, really fun. Leading up to the game and during the game was great. Getting the win over a really good Texas team, 10th rated team in the country. Came in with 3 losses, left with 4. Good for Rick Barnes. I know the players wanted to get the win for Coach Barnes. Didn't really discuss it much leading up to the game, something that Olivier Canwall had mentioned. They just knew what to do. They just kind of gave each other the look and just knew that the job needed to be handled. Last year came up short, had an opportunity late in that game to surge back into the game. Defensively was good all game long. Offense was just not enough as long as it needed to be last year until the comeback. But the comeback fell a little bit short. This year was a different story. 2 guys for Tennessee dropping 20 points, Olivier Canwall hitting his career high, and I think Zakai Ziegler proved that he is the best point guard in the SEC.
He definitely was last week, as Zakai has been named the SEC Player of the Week for what he did against Georgia and then Texas on Saturday, averaging in those 2 games 16.5 points, 8.5 assists, 3 steals, 2.5 rebounds. He recorded his 3rd career double-double with 22 points and a career-high tying 10 assists in the win over Texas. And that big performance by Olivier on Saturday, many of those plays set up by Zakai. I mean, the way that he's running what Tennessee is doing offensively is as high level as you could ask for. And one question was, okay, blowing out Georgia, not a very good team from the SEC. LSU, not an impressive team from the SEC. Let's see what you can do against Texas. And look what he did against Texas.
Was up 20-plus points at one point. And basketball is a game of runs. Tennessee certainly made their run to get it to 20-plus points. And then Texas made their run. They were playing desperate and had to get back into the game, so they were super aggressive. And they fell short. But the setups from Zakai Ziegler for Olivier were a thing of beauty. Olivier didn't have to do much to put the ball in the basket just because of how perfect Zakai set him up to be successful. Josiah Jordan James was on his way to 20 points too. Picked up 2 fouls there in the first half, had to sit. But it was Josiah that scored 90% of the points in the first couple of minutes.
He came out firing.
Oh, yeah.
He was fired up in that.
He was knocking down shots. Oh, he was fired up for sure. We were talking about it during the game Uros talks a lot. But Josiah is a sneaky, he's a sneaky chatter. Yep. For sure. And he was fired up. Some guys from the bench were talking to him while he was shooting a jump shot there on the left wing and splashed the nets, tickled the twine, and looked over at them to let them know that don't do that.
Ball went in.
Don't do that. All you're doing is making yourself look crazy because I'm going to make open shots. And he did that. He kind of got Tennessee going early, but again, had to sit down. And then it was time for someone else to kind of take the baton, and that was Zakai Ziegler. That was Olivier Canwall. You mentioned this during the game, or even a little bit after the game. Josh, the starters, was the most productive in this basketball game for Tennessee.
Yeah, 79 of the 82 points came from the starters. 75 of the points came from four guys. You had Julian Phillips scoring 4 points as a starter on 4 shots from the field, so not prolific in his attempts. But Olivier and Zakai leading the way with 27 and 22, respectively. But 75 points from four starters. So you can play that a couple of different ways. If you're told ahead of time, hey, the bench is going to provide 3 points, you might say, okay, how many are we going to be able to put on the board? But then you know what Zakai and Olivier are able to do. And how much have we talked about Olivier over the last few weeks? And he talked about that over the weekend, press conference. You got to talk to him last night on the locker room, that he can play a big role in the potential of this basketball team. And again, to bring it back to Zakai, if he plays like that, then his teammates are going to have a chance to play better too.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. I mean, it was just a thing of beauty watching Zakai and Olivier work the pick and roll. I mentioned this kind of after the game too, is, man, you win differently. Like, Tennessee has won so many different ways, where you've won with some tough shooting performances. You've won with great shooting performances. You've won where your defense was the main story. You won when defense maybe wasn't as good as it needed to be. And Saturday's win was just a different win. I mean, to have Olivier go for a career high, to have Zakai Ziegler play the way he's playing, the game has slowed down so much for him. Free throws, something you need to continue to improve on. I know Uros went in and he missed four, and that kind of skewed the numbers, but there were some other misses that, you know, you certainly don't want to see as you move closer and closer to postseason.
But I would also add in there, and they all count for the team results. So, so you're right in what you're saying. The four guys that we've talked about that led the way in scoring, they were 15 of 17 at the free throw line.
Yes.
So the guys leading the way did their job at the line too.
Absolutely. And I think the free throw shooting was probably part of the reason why Uros didn't play as much as he could have. He only had six minutes in that game. But there's plenty of positives to point at. You win in different ways. There's some things, if you're Rick Barnes, and he mentioned this after the game, which we'll get to his comments coming up soon, that you have to continue to get better because your opponents are going to get better. And so when you collide, you want to make sure that you're ready and able to win when that moment comes. That's why you have to continue to get better. Free throw shooting is something that we can point to in this game. 19 assists as a team, 10 turnovers as a team. You like that. But the free throw shooting, you want to continue to improve on as a team. You don't want to have to not play guys because they're not hitting free throws. And so that's the one thing I can probably point to. But, man, the crowd was into it.
Great atmosphere at Thompson Bowl.
They were loud. Could it be louder? Yeah, I'm going to tell you the truth. It could be louder.
They had the volume decibel level. They were keeping track, though, on the Jumbotron during the game.
Yeah.
So you were shooting for a little more.
No, I mean, it could be louder. Like, it was loud.
Yeah.
Like, it was good, but it could be louder. You know, we have a lot of fans that go to the game. Mm-hmm. We have a beautiful arena. The numbers don't lie. But there's a group that they don't stand up, and they don't really make a lot of noise. And this is the truth. It's been that way for years in football. It's been that way in basketball. And so the numbers kind of make up for it, because the people who are loud, they kind of take the place of the people who are not loud. But it was a good atmosphere. I will definitely say that only a few places can pull off what Tennessee was able to pull off as that atmosphere on Saturday. It was a really, really, really awesome weekend. And the uniforms, Josh Ward.
They look terrific.
Oh, my gosh.
Terrific.
We can't just see those things once a year. We got to pull those things back out again and again and again. Like, those things are fire. I love those uniforms.
Look good when you're knocking down shots, too.
Oh, yeah, they look good.
Fire from the outside. Tennessee, 82 points in the win against Texas. We will come back. We will hear from Rick Barnes, as Swain mentioned, talking about where Tennessee is now, but where Tennessee hopes to ultimately be as this season goes along. Also, when we come back, where Tennessee is in the updated top 25 polls. Did the Vols climb after that win against Texas? We'll update you when we come back right here on Josh and Swain on 99.1, The Sports Animal. Josh and Swain here on 99.1 The Sports Animal. We will get Ben McKee's reaction to Tennessee's win on Saturday coming up at 12:30, 15 minutes from now. Ben McKee of GoVols247.com. We'll hear from Rick Barnes in a moment. And if you look at the updated AP Top 25, Tennessee has climbed higher, two spots higher, Jason Swain. Purdue holds on to the number one spot, taking care of business this past week. The Vols jump from number four to number two. Alabama got crushed by Oklahoma. Alabama has fallen two spots, so actually they flip positions. Houston stays at number three, but Tennessee, with a blowout win over Texas, jumps another school from Texas. So your top five now: Purdue, Tennessee, Houston, Alabama, and Arizona, an opponent Tennessee faced a few weeks ago.
We had a conversation about what the AP poll would look like on Monday, didn't we?
We did.
I feel like Tennessee would have a good opportunity to be number two, especially how Alabama lost. And I don't understand some of these other polls out here that tried to say, well, I mean, the Bama loss don't mean anything. They should be right there, still number two. No. You got beat down. Just like Tennessee in football that had Tennessee behind Alabama towards the end of the season, even though Tennessee won the head-to-head to Alabama against Alabama football, it was the beatdown at South Carolina that kept Tennessee behind Alabama in football. Well, this is why Alabama dropped the way they did, because not only did they lose, they got ran out of the gym. So,
yeah, 12-9 Oklahoma destroyed Alabama.
Yes, this makes total sense. I 100% agree. Tennessee deserves to be right here at the number two spot. Question is, can Tennessee get to the number one spot? Dane Bradshaw, we had on a couple, about a week or so ago, mentioned the fact that when Tennessee plays Alabama, it's a possibility that Tennessee could be the number one team in the country. And it is playing out that way. You handle business on the road, Florida, you look at who Purdue is playing, and if Purdue puts themselves in a position where they lose, then boom, you have Tennessee as the number one team in the country. And I'm going to tell you right now, man, that game at Indiana.
That's Saturday for Purdue. That's going to be a tough one.
On the fourth? Oh, yeah. That's going to be a tough game for them. So Tennessee could be looking at number one overall ranking here soon, but you have to take care of business if you're Tennessee. Simple as that.
Yep. Florida on the road this week, then Auburn at home Saturday. That'll be a big atmosphere with Bruce Pearl's Tigers coming to town, trying to fix some things after going 0-2 this past week. Then Vandy in Nashville. Need to be ready for that game, but if you are, you win.
Who's playing? Vanderbilt.
And Missouri at home on Saturday, February 11th. So Tennessee and Purdue individually expected to win each individual game, but KenPom has Purdue only with a two-point advantage going in against Indiana on the road. So that'll be a tough one for Purdue. So there is a chance that Tennessee could be number one here in the next couple weeks. But as you said, got to take care of your own business first. By the way, KenPom has Tennessee at number one. So the Nerd Services of America, which I am a full supporter of, do have Tennessee as the number one team.
I know you were giddy when you saw that KenPom change.
I had to open up a brand-new spreadsheet just to celebrate.
Ooh, goody. New. What should I name this file?
Oh, man. I saved it as both a CSV and PDF.
Oh, my goodness, man.
Just to honor the moment. So what you mentioned there is great for now, but as fans have said for quite a while now, this is all good. Enjoy the top five, win against Texas, but what are you going to do in March? And you know who else knows all about that? Rick Barnes. That was what he talked about Saturday after the game, being asked about how this team is playing, the potential of the team. Texas's interim coach Rodney Terry is saying, yeah, this is a Final Four caliber team in Tennessee. Rick Barnes' response to that.
This year, at this point in time of the season, I'm not sure any team has just totally separated themselves. You know, there's a lot of basketball left. I mean, here's what I would say. I heard Jay Billis say it today, that this time a year ago today, North Carolina had the exact same record they have right now and got it turned around and got it going. Kansas a year ago today got beat by 30 points, just like Alabama did today. So it's a long way to go. every game, again, I think all the games are big. I do. I think I always tell our team in November, if you don't think this game is big, wait to March, those November games. And so right now, I mean, I love this team. I think we got a chance to be as good as we want to be. And I think that it's up to one thing. Are we tough enough to embrace the daily grind and not worry about going to the Final Four, not going worry about the NCAA tournament, but can we build a team that can be successful that time of year? And it starts with truly embracing the grind every single day, and it's tough because we've been at it a long time. And can you knock out all the noise around you? Can you not, you know, let whatever's out there, the noise, talk about it, and just be able to come to work? And I told him today, we've got to have a man's mentality in the fact that when we come in here and we get ready for games, it's not about being all emotional and jacked up. It's about taking care of business and knowing that it's hard to win games against a team like the University of Texas. And now I think we go to Florida next week. It's hard. And it's only going to get harder because February teams get better. And that's why we've got to get better or we'll go backwards.
Rick Barnes, he knows what these next 6 weeks are like as you try to get ready for the postseason. February begins on Wednesday. Tennessee will be at Florida on Wednesday. So as the Vols climb in the polls, they're already a really good team. They're already going to get attention. They'll get more as the rest of the season plays out.
For Florida, this game is going to be their Super Bowl. Simple as that. They have not had the season that they want to have. They have a brand new coach. Their record is not that great. But if they can knock off Tennessee at home, just like we talked about about a week or two ago leading up to the Kentucky game, this could be the game that starts a streak for them, a winning streak. So if you're Tennessee, you got to go in focused. It's not really about the opponent. It's about you. Sometimes you're playing against yourself. And Rick mentioning not getting yourself jacked up, that stood out to me because last night in the locker room talking to Olivier, I asked him about did the players understand like the task that this is Rick Barnes' old school that you're playing against. Did you guys talk about it? And he was like, really not, because it was just understood. They didn't want to get themselves too hype and too jacked up because they kind of did that last year. So that stood out to me because it aligns with what Olivier said.
Until we get to the postseason, there will be the question.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.
It's about, okay, what are they going to do in the postseason? But in this process, going to Florida, going to Vanderbilt next week, when a top five team comes to town, it's a big deal. So for Florida, for Vanderbilt, when Tennessee comes as a top five team, it's going to be a huge deal. The players are going to have to recognize that. I have very little question about their ability to either handle business at home or be locked in when like an Auburn or Alabama comes to town. When you go on the road, you better be ready. It's always a question. Now, they was at Mississippi State. They just destroyed, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then 3 days later, they went to South Carolina, which isn't a good team, but they went out and destroyed them even worse. So that was a good sign, I thought, of their ability to go in and just do what they're supposed to. But you have to do that over a month and a half period of time.
Enjoy it. Enjoy the moment. I remember watching Tennessee lose to Purdue in the Grant Williams, Admiral Schofield team. And it, like, it hurt. Mm-hmm. It hurt me so much because it was so fun following this team and being right there with this team emotionally. But I would do it all over again. Like, that pain, and no one felt the pain more than the guys in the locker room. But, like, that was so fun. The reason why we were able to feel that pain is because, man, we made ourselves vulnerable. We opened ourselves up to this basketball team. Like, we love that team. I didn't think we would see another team like that. Now, the personalities on that team better than this team. Don't get me wrong. And they had the fun with the videos and Jordan Bout and all that. But, like, this team is special just like that team. Personalities are different. But this team has the opportunity to be number one team in the country and go win a national championship. So enjoy, because you just never know when another team will come around and have that same opportunity. Just like this past year with football. That was a special, special team. You just never know when the next one's going to come around.
A good time on Rocky Top right now. We'll continue to discuss it with Ben McKee of GoVols247.com. When we come back here on Josh and Swain, be a part of the show. Call or text in 865-656-9900. We'll get to the Super Bowl matchup that is now set as the afternoon goes along. We'll continue with the Tennessee talk right here on Josh and Swain on 99.1, the Sports Animal. This is Josh and Swain. Thank you for being with us as we continue on this Monday afternoon. The Tennessee basketball news here in the last half hour. Zakai Ziegler, SEC Player of the Week. Tennessee up to number 2 in the updated Associated Press poll. Joining us to help discuss and look back at what happened this past weekend, Ben McKee joins us from GoVols247.com. Ben, we can maybe put a couple of players together. The performance by Zakai all week and against Texas, and then Olivier Kumwa, what he did against Texas on Saturday. What did you think seeing those performances put together, especially this past weekend?
They were tremendous. And I would even throw Josiah Jordan James and Santiago Vescovi in there to a lesser extent. Santi had 12 and Josiah had 14, but each of those guys knocked down big shots throughout the course of that game. If Texas tried to gain some momentum, or when Texas did gain some momentum, Josiah knocked down several big-time shots to kind of kill the momentum, and had a little something to say to the Texas bench as well, which I know Swain loves to see, and I certainly love to see him play with that swagger, because I think that's when he is at his best. But Olivier Kumwa and Zakai Ziegler, they were absolutely awesome. Those two guys played the best basketball of their career, and Zakai's been playing the best basketball of his career really since the Kentucky game. He has 3 double-doubles now this season after 22 and 10 assists against Texas on Saturday night. And then that's the Olivier Kumwa that Rick Barnes has been saying that he sees in terms of potential throughout his 3.5 years now here at Tennessee. Just couldn't ever really piece it together, quite frankly. He's had big games before, but hasn't necessarily been able to piece it together consistently. Kind of was doing that last year when he got hurt against South Carolina before he had to miss the season. But hopefully this can be a nice stepping stone for Olivier to finally find some consistency. And if he does, with the way this Tennessee system wants to play inside out and open up shots on the perimeter by getting it inside to a post player, if he plays like that consistently, not 27 points every night, but somewhere in that wheelhouse, I mean, the ceiling for this team just gets even higher.
Zakai Ziegler gets a lot of credit for his defense, his on-ball defense in particular, but Santiago Vescovi, his on-ball defense, I saw a metric where both guys are one of the best defenders or two of the best defenders in the last couple of years in college basketball. Vescovi came in, didn't have the speed, didn't have the agility, and now he's standing in front of guys. And big reason why this defense is so good is because of Zakai Ziegler and Vescovi, Ben.
Yeah, and I think the Tennessee defense being so dominant this year is a fascinating conversation for so many reasons. A, it's the same core, essentially, from a season ago that was good last year, but they weren't this. So for them to essentially, with the same core, take this big of a step defensively, it's pretty remarkable. And, again, I think it's for several reasons. Individuals have gotten better on the court as simply basketball players. But I think Garrett Medenwall, the strength coach, deserves so much credit because there is not a more physical team in the country right now than Tennessee. And it's not just physicality that they bring. I don't know that there's a team in better condition than this Tennessee team, especially when you kind of pair those two elements together. I think that has as much to do with anything with this Tennessee defense as X's and O's. Because you mentioned it, Santi was not this guy coming in, and he's always had the potential, but really the key for him was just getting in shape. And if you ask Rick Barnes about Santi's defense, the first comment is always that he's in elite cardio shape, that he has elite cardio toughness, that he, when he gets tired, he fights through it like nobody else. And Zakai Ziegler has that, Josiah has that, you go on down the line, and the numbers for these Tennessee players when in defensive situations, when guarding their man, they're all absolutely tremendous numbers in terms of one-on-one defense. And, you know, they've also played a lot of basketball together. That kind of speaks to that same core that was good last year, and now they're playing great this year. They know how to play with one another, and they're in better shape. They're more physical than everybody. I thought Texas was shook kind of in those first couple of minutes when Urosh was getting in their face, Olivier was talking to him, Josiah was talking to them. I thought Texas kind of got shook at that moment. And in terms of X's and O's wise, they can switch 1 through 5. They really can. And I think that allows you to do so much defensively. Even Zakai Ziegler after the game is saying that he wants the matchup if he gets switched on to a post player. 5'7", 5'8", Zakai Ziegler, 5'9", whatever he is. He's the shortest guy on the floor every game. He wants to be matched up when he gets switched on to one of those 6'9", 6'10", post players. And you saw it on Saturday night against Texas. He got switched on to a post player, and he ripped the ball away from him.
Ben McKee, GoVols247 here with us on Josh and Swain. Now that we saw this team and how they played against Texas and the performance from Olivier and Zakai Ziegler and Josiah George James, Vescovy in there with 12 points, Triple J with 14 points, who's the most important pair of players for Tennessee that have to play well? Is that the same as it was, you know, a month ago, a month and a half ago, or in the last couple of games, has that changed?
I'll be honest with you. My opinion on that question kind of changes from game to game because How can you not watch what Olivier Kamwa did against Texas? And, I mean, that's the best Tennessee has looked as a team all season long. And, I mean, I think a lot of it was because of the way Olivier performed. I mentioned it earlier. Rick wants to get the ball inside before getting the ball back onto the perimeter. He wants to collapse that defense and open up shots for Tyreek Key and Santiago and Julian Phillips and Triple J, Zakai. He wants the defense to collapse and then work the ball back out. But he also wants Olivier to be able to score. You need to have a scoring presence in the post. You saw Kentucky eat Tennessee alive because no post players really showed up. I know Urosh had a big game against Oscar Tshiebwe offensively, but John Calipari said after the game that he was perfectly content with Urosh doing that because it allowed the rest of the team to kind of focus on the perimeter and take Tennessee out of its game on the perimeter from an offensive standpoint. So it's kind of hard to watch Saturday's performance and not think that Olivier is as important as anybody or the most important player because it just opens up so much for everybody else. But I do think if I had to give a firm answer, I mean, Santiago Vescovy and Josiah Jordan James, I think they are by far the two leaders on this team. Zakai Ziegler, he's the heart and soul of the team. But in terms of communication and kind of being the glue out there, Santiago and Josiah is that on both ends of the floor. So I think those two guys are the most important players. And although they didn't have the best stats on Saturday, I mentioned it earlier, they were able to make winning plays when it mattered most to kind of help kill some of the momentum that Texas created in the second half. So as important as Olivier and Zakai and some of those other guys are, at the end of the day, I think Tennessee is going to go as far as Josiah and Santiago take them.
Ben McKee, GoVols247.com. A big win over Texas on Saturday. Ben, you were there to see that. You also saw Josh Heupel come out, speak to the crowd. Crowd went crazy.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
You met Lala Kent on Vanderpump Rules. Now Lala and her friends share everything on Give Them Lala.
I'm expecting my second child. Which is very, very amazing to say.
Congratulations.
Feels
we're
that
all
way.
With child.
You can say she's pregnant, she's knocked up, anything except with child.
Oh, I love with child. I'm going to be saying it all the time.
Yep.
Excuse me.
Yes, yes.
6 feet, I'm with child.
Watch what Lala is talking about on YouTube or search for Give Them Lala wherever you listen.
Newcomers were introduced as well, and that's after the news last week. Josh Heupel gets his big extension. What stood out about the reaction from Tennessee's fan base, and then your thoughts on the deal that Tennessee handed out to extend Josh Heupel?
Yeah, it was cool to see Josh Heupel and the newcomers get the reaction that they got during one of the media timeouts. And unfortunate that Thompson Bowling couldn't get Josh Heupel a better microphone. He kept kind of cutting in and out, but you could get the gist of what he was saying. And then of course he had the great one-liner of let's go out and show the country who the real orange or the correct shade of orange is. And he certainly held his own down in the Orange Bowl when knocking off Clemson, another shade of orange. And then Rick Barnes was able to hold his own as well by beating Texas. But I thought the raise was well-deserved. I mean, he's one of the best coaches in the SEC, and now he is compensated as one of the best coaches in the SEC. Obviously, there's a little bit of risk involved because he's only two seasons in, but there's going to be any form of risk with any coach across the country when giving somebody that much money. And I would be very surprised if the money doesn't work out or if Tennessee regrets giving him $9 million, which is tied with Lane Kiffin, funny enough, for fifth highest paid coach in the SEC. I would be absolutely shocked, quite frankly, if we look back 3, 4, 5 years from now and think that that was the wrong move. Obviously, it's the right move in present day, but I think you're kind of accomplishing two things when you give him the extension and raise that you gave him. A, it's acknowledging what he's done to this point, and B, you're investing into the future. So when you're investing into the future, I think you're looking at a guy that is going to be able to maintain a culture. He's a guy that obviously gets it done X's and O's wise, and I think he's a much better recruiter than people give him credit for. So I would be very surprised if in a couple of years Tennessee looks back and regrets giving Josh Heupel that much money after just two seasons, because, A, he's earned it to this point, and I think he will continue to earn it as the program continues to grow and build.
So, does that mean Tennessee has the orange belt currently? Got the win against Clemson, got the win against Texas. Tennessee have the orange belt right now?
The win over Clemson, we got the orange belt, but we don't need no belt just because we beat Texas, because Texas is not orange. Josh, I told you this. They are brown. And as someone who is brown and looks at brown every time I look in the mirror when I brush my teeth in the morning, I know what brown looks like. Texas is brown, okay? They're not orange.
Can't exactly counter that argument there, can
you
we?
You cannot counter that argument. I know what brown looks like, okay? I'm an expert on brown. Texas is not orange. They are brown. Case closed. Burnt orange. And it's more hideous in person. Y'all have to agree. It is a hideous color. It is god-awful. I thought it was bad watching it on TV. Seeing it in person is even worse. Even worse. I bet Rick Barnes couldn't wait to get rid of his stuff when he was let go. Couldn't wait. Like, who wears that color on purpose? Accident? Maybe. Get dressed in the dark. I've done it before. I know Ben has done it before. I'm sure you've done it too. But who wears that color on purpose? Ugh. All right, I'm done.
5-second pause to make sure. Ben McKee, GoVols247.com. Read his coverage from Tennessee basketball over the weekend. We continue to get closer, what, 2.5 weeks until Tennessee baseball will start up, and football in the meantime always going on. GoVols247.com to read Ben's coverage and his colleagues' coverage. Ben, thanks for the time as always. We appreciate it. We'll talk to you again soon.
Thanks, guys. Have a great week.
Ben McKee, GoVols247 on the Stanley Fencing and Gates Hotline.
Good job, Ben. Good job. Good job. Good work by Ben.
Tina in the YouTube chat, excited to see Ben. We had Ben on the video stream as well.
Oh, absolutely, man. It's good to see Ben. I tried to wait up for Ben on Saturday, but between Rick Barnes talking and then doing the Q&A there on Vol Network after the show, and then talking to his team. I mean, he's in there talking to his team, tell them how, you know, great they are. I mean, goodness gracious. I mean, just taking
you
up all of it.
That's what Rick told him?
Yeah. I think the film study would be a different story. But, like, Rick was taking forever, just moving slow. And it messed up my quality time with Ben McKee. So I could not wait on Ben, and I had to leave. I couldn't wait any longer on Ben. But it was good to see Ben today. In person.
Been covering it all in Tennessee. By the way, Josh Heupel, the jacket he was rocking, he had the orange, white, and black Dunk Lows. He knew what he was doing from an attire. Yeah. Like, Ben and I may dress in the dark and look like fools on a regular basis. Not Josh Heupel.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Heupel got, knew what he was doing. Heupel got some swag now, for sure. And I love that Texas hate coming out of him from back in his OU quarterbacking days. It's down deep in there. It ain't going anywhere. And it came out a little bit. I could barely hear him. But, like, you can tell that hate is still there inside that belly.
Yeah, you can take Josh Heupel out of Oklahoma. That doesn't mean you take the Texas hate out of Josh Heupel.
100%.
We'll come back here on Josh and Swain. Face-off coming up next. 5 tough questions from Joel Silverberg. As we continue on Josh and Swain, you can join the show. Call or text in 865-656-9900 here on 99.1, the Sports Animal. Josh and Swain here on 99.1, the Sports Animal. Thank you for being with us. Mike says Texas colors are puke brown.
He said brown. And that is correct. I mean, they brag about the colors being unique. Oh, it's unique. It's unique, okay. Okay, all right. It's definitely unique. Like, Tennessee's colors are unique. And I don't blame other SEC fans for not liking Tennessee's color. That's fine. It ain't for you. But it's still a pretty color. But the Texas brown, ugh. No.
Well, it says here at utexas.edu, it's burnt orange, not brown.
I don't care what they call it. It's brown. That's called marketing, Josh. That's all they doing. It's closer to Wyoming's brown than Tennessee's orange.
Okay, that's a fair test. Which shade is it closer to? Swain applies it elsewhere. We'll continue here on the show talking Tennessee, Texas from the weekend, the NFL this past weekend, and right now hitting today's faceoff.
Do you want some? Come get some!
Head to head, toe to toe. Let's go one-on-one with today's faceoff.
But to be the man, you gotta beat the man!
Are you ready?
Let's get this mother crock!
Presented by Marble City Family Chiropractic. What do you have for us today, Joel?
Who is the most valuable guard for Vol Hoops?
There was a time when I thought it was Santiago Vescovi, but that was before the latest 2-3-4-5 game stretch for Tennessee. The blowout wins on the road and then the win at home where Zakai Ziegler has proven to be the best point guard in the SEC. Not only is his defense on point, on ball, but the game has slowed down for him so much. The pick and roll is a thing of beauty. He's making outside shots. I got to go with Zakai Ziegler because he impacts the game more than really anyone else at the guard position on both sides of the court. So I'm going Zakai, man.
He has shown us how high the potential is for Tennessee when he's at his best. And also, the Kentucky game was a bad game for Tennessee. Well, he had a bad day, right?
Yep.
So it shows how much Tennessee will ride Zakai Ziegler. He's the answer.
Has there been too much officiating talk from the NFL Championship weekend, or is all the talk warranted?
The talk is warranted. I'm not going to sit here and blame the officials for the Bengals losing. I mean, Joe Burrow had two interceptions. You can't hit the quarterback outside the pocket like that. Well, you can't hit the quarterback out of bounds like that. You have a quarterback that had a high ankle sprain a week ago, and you allowed him to finish the game. You didn't get to him enough. So I don't blame the officials for the Bengals losing, but the Bengals were talked about way too much because, quite frankly, they missed a lot of calls and didn't have their best game officiating. They are human, but they made, I think, a lot of mistakes.
Yeah, it was a bad weekend for sports officiating. Lakers-Celtics game didn't help. The Eagles-49ers game could have led to talk, but no quarterbacks. That game ended up not being a game in the second half. But I also think the talk is over the top now, where it's being blamed for the Bengals losing. That's not why they lost.
Which team between the Bengals and Chiefs is the most unlikable?
For a while, and probably even now, a lot of people don't want to see the Chiefs win because they're tired of the team that have the success, continue to have success. That's just kind of the way it goes in sports. But I like Patrick Mahomes. I'm a big Andy Reid fan. I'm going with the Bengals, not because of Joe Burrow. I love Joe Burrow. Love me some T. Higgins, Jamar Chase. But that Eli Apple, oh, man, he is easy to dislike. And how about Travis Kelce yesterday throwing shade to the mayor of Cincinnati? That was fantastic. But I'm going with the Bengals. I think they are easier to dislike.
This is no joke. I saw the mayor video last week where he was ordering a paternity test to show that Joe Burrow was Mahomes and the Chiefs' daddy.
Disrespectful.
I thought it was a parody video. I could not believe when I found out this is actually the mayor of Cincinnati doing this ahead of his team having to go play at Arrowhead, plus the Bengals doing the Burrow head talk before going there. That's dumb trash talk.
Yep.
You do the talk after you get the win at their place. You're not hosting. So I don't have a problem with either team, but if I have to choose here, I'll choose at least the team that has won and backed it up before, that being the Chiefs. So the Bengals, the more unlikable between the two.
The Eagles are 2-point favorites over the Chiefs. Is that too high, too low, or about right?
Just about right. And I'm picking the Eagles today, right now, to win. The running game, the way they were able to move the line of scrimmage against the number one defense in the league. Last time I checked, Brock Purdy didn't play defense. And 49ers were getting dominated on the line, at the line of scrimmage. And then you got Big Play Slay, one of the best corners in the league on defense. So I think it's just right. I think the Eagles should be the favorite. I'm picking them to win.
I think it's a little too high. I have respect for both teams. Either team that's the underdog is then going to play the disrespect card very aggressively. I think it should be a pick 'em. So I think it's too high. I think it should be a pick 'em between the two. I can't make the team with the better quarterback the 2-point underdog.
On a 1-10 scale, what's your confidence level Tennessee will go 2-0 this week?
Who does Tennessee play this week again?
Gators on the road.
Gators on the road.
Auburn and Bruce Pearl at home.
10! A 10! A blanking 10! Come on, man. This defensively, I don't think Florida will be able to score enough points. And then Auburn, they don't have any scores, man. I mean, they're point guards and guards. They take bad shots. They're streaky. They just don't have that depth that they've had in the past. I think Tennessee goes 2-0.
Okay, I think Tennessee goes 2-0, but I'm not going to be held responsible for any kind of 10 jinx. I gave Tennessee a 10. I'd be surprised if they lose to Kentucky. Saw the results, so put me down for an 8.
All right, Swain gets the win.
DJ Khaled!
Do you have to vacate the title if Tennessee goes 1-1 this week?
No, because your confidence pick was more out of being worried about a jinx rather than how confident you actually are. Swain was more honest.
Well, it was a lesson learned is what it was.
Do you really want to talk about titles being taken away from the face-off? Do you really want to do that, Josh Ward?
Not today. That's the face-off. Okay. Swain gets the win. It's presented by Marble City Family Chiropractic. Get rid of aches and pains in a natural way with Doctors Jason and Alicia Bloom. Call 766-2081 to set up your one-on-one consultation today. You can start living the life you were designed to live thanks to Marble City Family Chiropractic. We'll come back with 2 hours to go. We'll talk more about the now number 2 Tennessee Volunteers in the updated AP poll. Lady Vols at LSU tonight.
Love
Patrick Mahomes back in the Super Bowl on 1.5 legs at best. We'll talk about everything from the weekend and invite you to join us while we do. 865-656-9900 to join Josh and Swain on 99.1 The Sports Animal.
Our house is a mess. Come on in. I'm Amber Wallen, internet comedian and host of your new favorite podcast, Fly on the Wallen.
Okay, that's pretty presumptuous to assume that this is going to be their favorite podcast, by the way.
Anyway, that wasp that you just heard interrupt me is my husband.
And co-host, Benjamin Wallen.
Listen in as we discuss relationships and keeping our sweet baby kid alive.
Fly on the Wallen, wherever you listen.